Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
What's up, guys? Doc Danny here. Larson on with me for the second time. You're actually, I think you're the only two repeat guests that I've had so far. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel very special, Danny. Truly.
You get,
I'm gonna get connect over the internet. It's a great way.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have to give you and Pear like complete credit early on. I feel like you guys were very, very instrumental in Ashley and I being able to figure out some things within this kind of performance-based cash physical therapy business. And I feel like you really saved us a ton of time, you know, gave us a lot of support mentally for some of the things we were going through. And we really, you know, appreciate you guys for taking the time out of your schedules going forward. Because I think you started your business maybe 6 or 12 months before we started ours, right?
Yeah, not too much. I think it was just me, and then I brought Pear on eventually because I was like, right.
Yeah, right. I know. That same thing happened with Ashley. And, you know, you need these sort of like systems-driven people. You and me are not systems-driven. Have you ever heard of the Berkman test?
Describe it.
So Berkman test is sort of this natural tendencies based on your personalities. Like when we were talking, you talked about, you know, you need a little bit more quiet time and a little more introverted. This will actually tell you like what kind of introvert, extrovert you are. So a lot of tech companies do this to help place people, but it's interesting because it'll tell you like what your natural tendencies are and what your needs are. They could be totally different. For instance, you might be really direct with people, but you may not respond well when people are direct to you. And you can find that as like rude. So this will actually tell you what people's needs and their tendencies are, and they don't always match up. So it's helpful for us for communication with our employees.
And oh yeah,
it's been awesome.
I can see that. I heard of one. We do like Myers-Briggs and a couple, some personality tests at our yearly retreats that we do with our team. Yeah. But not, I haven't done that one yet. StrengthFinder. One, but that's what you're talking about, tendencies versus like what was the other description you gave?
So it was like what you tend to gravitate towards, but then how you want to be communicated to. Like that's what I thought was really interesting about it.
That is interesting. Actually helpful with like probably hiring people too.
Yeah, hiring, but also placing people in certain roles and giving them like coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, like I sat down and did like an hour and a half review with all of our staff members this week. And so each one, it was a 90-minute review. And the way I spoke to each one of them was different based on how what their Berkman said. And it was really helpful. So anyway, I think that stuff, I geek out on that stuff and I find it really fascinating because, you know, that's the hardest part sometimes is like with employees is motivation, but also them seeing why certain things are important. I think that can be really challenging.
Oh, yeah. I would guess any business owner who starts their own business and hires people, like you realize real quick the right people matter, but how do you get the right people?
Right.
Because most likely they didn't hire the right people initially and learned like, how can I prevent this? So you got to do things like that.
Yeah.
Human relations, learning more about human relations is a thing.
People are messy, man. So, you know, for you, it's been cool to see your business evolve and really your role in that business evolve along with it, you know, going from being practitioner and seeing everybody to then starting to build a team and then taking yourself out of that business, writing a book, starting to do work outside of that associated with your book. And then, hey, let's throw a kid into the mix and let's see how that, you know, works. And, you know, it's cool to sort of watch this evolution that you've gone through. And I'd love to talk about what you've been able to do, which is really as a healthcare practitioner, be able to remove yourself from as much of the day-to-day practitioner work as you really want. So why did you find that important to want to prioritize that? And how was that process for you?
Well, I needed to prioritize it because I was hitting walls. I was burning out. Even though I started my own business, it was like, I grew fast one-on-one and I realized, okay, I can do this. I can grow a healthy practice, just me. But I got burnt out working one-on-one, even though I was in the environment like I had envisioned. Yeah. It was creating everything I wanted. But yet at the end of, like I was talking to you before, like the 8-hour seminars and the long 5-day weeks treating 8 hours each, 1 hour per patient burnt me out. And so mentally I was hitting walls. And so I was like, and then on top of it, still having to manage the systems on my own, like build my own website and thinking of ways to make the system of outreach and scheduling easier. And oh, by the way, like evaluation forms and soap notes and like ways to track progress. I was doing that on my own. And so I brought my husband on board, who's a businessman and a very methodical businessman. Nothing really phases him too much, which was great. So he's like slow and steady wins the race, was able to help manage and take away kind of the things that like the systems that helped create, you know, like the website, scheduling system, even helped me create my forms, all that stuff. But I learned, like, I want to work on the business. If I'm this successful, how can I help others be this successful? And I didn't just want to be a one-on-one patient care PT. Like, I got out of the Marine Corps, I was free. I want to do some cool shit with my time. And the last thing I want to do is stay in a gym, you know, 8 hours a day treating patients. Because, you know, I'm around big thinkers. They're in front of large rooms of people speaking about health and wellness or whatever their topic is. They're making a huge difference in those people's lives. Like, I can do that too. But what about companies? Like companies, these wellness programs, like what are those? Like, I want to be involved in that and making decisions. Kind of what entrepreneurs do, getting a little bit distracted during my those days where it was just me, but that distraction turned into months of thinking of how can I get myself out of the one-on-one, bring someone else in to take over this and run it. You know, I'll still work a little bit, but how can I start to build my company so I'm reaching more people at one time? And it wasn't an easy shift though, because there's that need of like, I have to see patients. I feel better about myself if I see more patients. The more people I have in my schedule, the better I feel. I had to get over that pretty quickly. Like, no, I don't have to see more patients to feel good about myself. I'm worth every minute of it, every minute of their time. But like, I can also use my skill set elsewhere. There aren't a lot of PTs doing it, but I don't need someone to pave the way for me. I can pave my own way. So it was a lot of just like overcoming that self-esteem of, I don't need one-on-one to feel good about myself. I'm a PT. I have the knowledge to help way more people, and kind of just like throw myself into this new environment. Well, relatively new, just more being in front of people. Speaking in front of larger rooms, speaking to CEOs, and realizing like, I can do this, build more confidence. But it wasn't like, oh, I feel confident immediately. This is totally going to work out. It was that fear of, fuck, I got to make this work. And I will, I can do it. I felt like a fraud sometimes because I'm a PT and I should be doing one-on-one. Fuck that. I'm going to go do this. And like, but I ended up finding the right people to help me build that one-on-one, because the PTs I found like wanted to do that. Like that was what they loved it. Like they had no desire to be speaking in front of rooms. They wanted to build the Movement Rx culture. Yeah. So that was also like, it wasn't easy finding those people. It took a few years to find the right people. But through those years, it was like, yes, this is where I should be building the business, being in these rooms with these different organizations, and the PTs I've hired are not only supportive of that vision, but want to build the culture that we created, you know, 6 years ago.
So what's your week look like? I'm interested. Like what does your, you know, normal work week look like?
So, by the way, just to emphasize on, that wasn't an easy process. Like a lot of breakdowns, a lot of just like, what am I doing?
Right.
I feel alone. Yeah. Like I don't want to really get emotional here, cry with you, Danny, but it's not easy.
Right.
But I knew that, but we had a vision, like my husband and I had a vision, and it wasn't like money was just pouring in all this time.
Yeah.
But we've made it work. So my week now, it's very new normal. So compared to like a patient care. Patient care, a typical week. So I actually I don't take on any new patients anymore. And I treat twice a month. But a typical Monday is a lot of cold outreach. I literally am working the channels. I've created channels in my life, whether like the social media channel is one, right? I kind of lump that together, but I've got a speaking agent. I've got, a broker in the corporate realm. I've got actually brokers around the country that I work with who are putting feelers out to community. So it's me, reaching out to them and looking at the cold companies that we haven't touched yet, on companies that I want to reach out to and be in touch with. So I use these channels to help me get these leads. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like my feelers out into the world. So that's a Monday. Like my Monday, first 4 hours of my Monday is just communicating with them and doing outreach. And having awkward conversations sometimes. Yeah. They're like, cause one of the big, you know, honestly, one of the big things that's floating around corporate America is mental health. And I'm like, yeah, I can talk all day about mental health and embodiment of it, but they're like, you're a PT. And I'm like, so read my book. You want to talk about mental health? Like this is something that people struggle with, and you don't need a psychotherapist to tell you to breathe better.
Yeah.
Or to get out and move in nature. Like, I'll tell you why. So first 4 hours of my Monday is like all cold stuff. I teach my adaptive class on Mondays. So I've got two big adaptive classes that go on in San Diego. One on Mondays, one on Fridays. I coach the one on Mondays. I've got coaches that coach the one on Fridays. That's a wonderful hour. It ends up being two because I like take time after.
Sure.
The beauty of running your own business, you can just hang out a little bit. Talk with the crew. It's fun for me. It's kind of my laboratory of testing things too in the adaptive community. And then afterwards, so because we're now in the federal biz ops game grant, VA grant game. I'm on federal biz ops looking for grants and federal contracts. So, that takes time because it's filtering through a lot of crap.
Oh yeah.
But the reason why I'm doing that is because that can provide, I work with the military now with my company, my programs. So like if I want to reach more of the military than just San Diego, I need capital from the government and their backing. So I'm basically, you know, it's put a stone in my shoe working with the local Navy. Cause it's like, well, if you want to reach the Navy on the East Coast or the Navy in Guam, you're going to need a federal contract to make that happen. So that's part of my Monday, 2 hours on my Monday afternoon. That's just Monday. Tuesday is a treatment day typically, or it's, continuing off of Monday, like doing meetings if I have to, working more on the federal business stuff. Wednesday is a lot of Movement RX stuff. So I work with my PTs that day. We either do clinical development or a business meeting. We train together as a team on Wednesdays. That's really important.
That's
we
cool.
sweat together. Per and I have our business meeting where we talk about all the lines of business and channels and how they're doing financially, all of the things that you need to look at to see if a business is being successful in the different lines that we have going. And that leaves, that's a lot of our day. I have like maybe an hour to do some follow-ups. Thursday is mostly project management. Whatever projects we've got going on in the country, I'm like working with the team member who's the account manager and just making sure they're doing okay. They know what's going on. There's, you know, how are the coaches doing?
Yeah.
How are the people on the program? What's the feedback? Stuff like that. Maybe putting out some fires sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And then Friday is Per and I do a date morning. Like we literally go to breakfast because we have daycare. So we're like, why not use daycare time to do date time?
Good idea.
And then I'll do like some random stuff if I haven't gotten it done during the week. Or I take that Friday to do meetings, like meetups. Like I'll go have coffee with a business owner or go for a walk with someone. I always try to make meetings active. So like I go meet with a CEO and it's, let's go for a walk around Balboa or around your cement complex.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, I guess, a typical week. But if Magnus is sick.
Yeah. Right.
Then my whole week is effed. And I'm actually effed in a professional way, but in a personal way, I got to spend time with my son more time.
Yeah.
So that's hard, but.
You know, I hope that anybody that listening to this that is interested in starting their own business, doing their own thing, I go back and re-listen to the schedule of what that's a lot of shit, right? And the thing is, you know, you just can't make things work without a lot of effort. You know, it doesn't happen easily. Otherwise, like, why wouldn't everybody do that? And it's interesting. You know, the thing that I find most interesting is the cold leads. That is a scary place to be. It's so easy to get like rejected and lose confidence in what you're doing, like especially with cold business that you know you can help, but then it's sort of like trying to get your ideas across to them. How have you done with dealing with that? I'm assuming like cold, you know, introductions or cold, no introduction and just cold leads. That's such a hard thing to develop. And there's a lot of just rejection. So how have you dealt with that?
So I know based on the rate, if I reach out to 10 people, I know one is going to take it's, we've had like a, basically that's a percentage of one out of 10 mm-hmm. is going to be one that's going to turn warm. So I know going in, there's going to be rejection. It's not easy, but it's like, you know, these people don't know me. I know that they're busy. Like I look at my time when someone reaches out to me, I'm like, make it simple and concrete of what you want me to know versus painting me a huge story.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, I know that, you know, some of these larger companies that I reach out to, they've got wellness programs and they've got lots of things going for them. But what I do know is that they all need to hear my message. It's just, are they in a space and a time that they're willing to listen to it? So I find that a lot of times when I went after Northrop Grumman, right? Like huge. Yeah,
defense contractor, gotcha.
So, yeah, I call them and they're like, you know, I call one of their head HR directors here in on the West Coast, and they're like, so yeah, you're a PT, you're doing what? And I have basically 30 seconds to tell them what I do, because once I get this lead and there's some warmth to it, I send them over to one of our agents who are brokers working with us, so they can then like negotiate and figure out the details of how we're working with them. Whatever I was saying to her, she's like, yeah, yeah, I got a meeting in. It's like I was a minute into the conversation. It was like, yeah, she probably doesn't. That's just her excuse.
Sure.
But as I would do too. And I was like, listen, do you have veterans that work for you? Do you have veterans with mental health issues that work for you? She's like, yeah, actually. There's some stuff that's come up over the holidays. I'm like, yeah, I know. Do you guys have any kind of organization to bring those guys and gals together? Because that's what I do is I help to improve the culture in a company. It's not just I'm throwing mobs at you. It's like, let's like create a culture here of accountability. So I take on the military. In the military or not. And so she was all ears. She was like, oh, tell me more. Let's, you know, she's like, I'm not the person for you to talk to you about this, but I'm going to refer you to someone in our company who can, because what you're talking about is needed. But it was like, okay, initially I felt like my heart was just like, yeah, she's totally not into this. And then all of a sudden, she's not the one to talk to, but she referred me to someone. So there are other people who are like, yeah, who are you? What are you doing? Yeah, we already got that. We're good. Are you sure you got that? I mean, do you feel like your digital programs are really making a difference in your company?
Yeah.
Well, sure. The analytics say that the 10 people that committed did really well on it. Like 10 people out of 1,000. That's, you know, so I try to do my best to like lead them down a road of referring me or saying, yeah, let me take a second look. But I've definitely had those that are like, ah, yeah, we're good. Thanks. You don't have what we need. I know you do. Like I actually, what helps me through that is knowing I know I have what you need. You might just say no, but like I have a belief in myself that the message we have is actually really important. And I'm going to continue yelling from the mountaintops to tell people about it, whether they say no or yes.
What is that message? I mean, like at this point, you know, you have your company where you're doing, you know, work with active adults and athletes and stuff in the San Diego area with the PT practice. But you know, this is where it seems like most of your time and effort is really directed towards. So what is it about this that you feel like, you know, you can make an impact on a lot of different things. You have to kind of pick what you want to do. So it sounds like what has had you gravitate towards this specific message, and what are you trying to accomplish with it?
Good question. So the simply put, like our vision as a company this year is just to reach 19,000 people in 2019, right? We're going to do that through a number of different lines of business, the few that we have. But the big overall thing for the human is, how do you take ownership of your health? Yeah. Right? Like just what are you doing about it? Mental and physical, they go together. And mental health is a big topic now in companies running around, like morale, being able to boost the morale of a company, employee satisfaction. So whether I'm with a patient, right? Almost a patient's easier because like you have their undivided attention. They're coming to you, they're paying cash. They're investing in you, and okay, you can tell them what they need to do. And most likely they're going to go do it. To some degree, they're like investing in you. Well, as a company, they don't know what they need yet. Like they've got all these wellness solutions being thrown at them that are like kind of pie in the sky. This looks cool. This is the next fad, but like what's actually going to make a difference? Like is someone logging into this digital program, watching this digital yoga program, what's that doing for them? Like, are they actually doing it? What if that person is just so sedentary? It's like, going from their sedentary life to that, they're not going to do it. Yeah. Flat out. They're not going to commit to this really cool digital program. So like the ownership of health concept is a message, because I've done a couple large ticket speaking items last year that just really like the people and the and this is kind of what helped build the confidence of this is the message America needs. Is that the people in the audience like really resonated with the very simple tactics that I taught in a 1 hour speaking endeavor. It was about breathing deeper and using the breath to be the remote control for calming the physiology in a stressful situation. Things that I've had to learn struggling with what I did getting out of the military, my transition and my struggle with mental health. Learning how to be a little vulnerable, learning how to ask for help when you need it, but asking for help with the right people. Learning how to be vulnerable, learning how to like, you know, you are, if you're a mom or dad, you're a leader of a family, right? So leading yourself first, taking care of yourself before you can take care of others, like understanding that concept. People think it's so easy to get caught up in, I've got my business, my employees, like kids to take care of, but what about me? And people don't think about themselves, and people literally would break down with me when I talked about that lead you first concept, like especially moms who, you know, are busting their ass. They're sitting there a lot because they're working, but their kids, they have their kids too, maybe husband or wife at home. And it's like, yeah, it's just, you forget to take care of yourself. And it doesn't take much. It just takes taking more control of your time and how you spend your time. And so I found that, like, I could have the coolest fucking programs ever, but if I can't meet the person where they're at, then it's not going to get anywhere. So, like, I believe that this, like, the kind of the warrior movement, RX, ownership of health, both of them speak to that, one in a book and one in a company, is the message America needs. And it involves, like, taking care of your mental health through the physical body. And people need that bit of, like, ass kicking inspiration to get started. I'm not looking for them to just be motivated in a moment. So that's why, like, doing a speaking endeavor, well, it's great. It's like, well, what are you doing after? You're inspired. Now let's get you on a program and get you building consistency and discipline and eventually a habit.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Totally. I think it's great. And I'm interested too, like, from a logistical standpoint on the back side of that, like, I guess the infrastructure in which you're utilizing to get the result, right? It sounds like you're leveraging a digital program in conjunction with some other things. So is that correct? Like, how does that look with a group of 1,000 people for you to work on self-care?
Yeah. So the way it looks, typically a company, let's say a company of 1,000 people, mm-hmm. not everyone, the company isn't going to invest in everyone to go on the program.
Right.
So what they're going to do is they're going to create a cohort or a group. They're going to put marketing out to their company and they're going to say, who's interested in this? Mm. With our sign up. So of the 1,000, let's say on average, we'll get 200. So a good amount of them. But that good amount, so that amount of people, what we do is we always lead it off with whatever program they're doing. We have a really basic commit to 5 days kind of program, commit to 5 minutes a day, just teaching fun skill sets of, like, breath work, movement, nutrition. And then we have programs that are a little bit more hefty that require an hour 4 days a week. But they're involving down regulation stuff. It's not just like fitness, it's working out, moving out, moving well in your workout. So whatever program they're on, they always go through a seminar. And for some companies, they want to do virtual. So that's where we do the whole Zoom. We get literally people in a room, conference room, the ones, and we might have to do phases depending on how big their space is. So I've done up to 3 of the same seminars for a company virtually, where I'm literally up there and I'm talking about the program and I'm showing them how it works. I'm, you know, asking them about their biggest faults that they see, their struggles, telling them a little bit about my story, because it gives them permission to feel like, oh, she's totally not this perfect fitness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever people think, they're like, oh, well, you're up here dancing around, you must have things, your shit together. Well, yeah, for now, but, like, I haven't before.
Right.
And then they're immediately, like, excited about it. But in that seminar, we pick out team leaders, just like in the military, your fire team leader, right? We get, we pick out the fire team leaders, and then they have a group of 4 people around them that while they go through the program, they're checking in with them every day of the program, if that makes sense. Or they're rallying them to go to the workout. And do the workout together. So that's been really helpful. There's always a reward at the end. But the fire team leaders are challenged to reach out. So every fire team leader reaches out to, we have account managers for every company. So that account manager is in charge of keeping in touch with the fire team leaders. So she or he can see what's going on during the program. But this is all done virtually. Like, we're not there.
Yeah.
Some companies will have us be there in person, but most of it's virtually. But after this initial seminar, there's like a, we don't want to just put them on a program without assessing, right? Like, we want to get data. Like, program, like, this is the funny thing in corporate wellness. A CEO doesn't know what to do with data. They're like, oh, someone's, like, more mobile. Okay. Like, how is that tied to retention?
Right.
Like, they want to see that. So we've actually started tying in their health with, we find from energy and time. So we have an energy and time questionnaire. We have a couple other ones. And then, like, we take them through a really basic assessment that we can do virtually. You know, is it the most effective? it works. But we tie it into employee satisfaction, because employee satisfaction, if an employee feels they're taken care of, feels they're getting better, and they're going to be happier with their company, therefore stay longer. So like, that's an easier sell. But they get an assessment, they go on the program, you know, 4 to 8 weeks later, we reassess and we do a closing ceremony and we talk about their results. And that's that.
That's really cool. And you know, what I really like about this more than anything is the fact that, you know, I think people go to school, and school is a place to learn how to pass a test so you can become, you know, credentialed as a provider. But we have these really unique skill sets that can be leveraged into things besides just direct patient care, you know? And what you're doing is something that is very unique in terms of the utilization of our skill set, right? And leveraging your current experiences with that. And I think it's awesome. I just think that, you know, the more people that get involved as an entrepreneur start to then have time and be able to see problems that they can solve, you know, like this problem in particular. Like, I'm interested how you first started noticing, like, corporate America, this is weird, having never actually functioned in corporate America, you know, like, how did that happen?
So that's a funny question, actually, because the first corporate account we ever had was the Navy.
Yeah.
A guy, one of the heads of Swarmac Maintenance, he was like, "Do you guys have corporate wellness services?" And the PT at the time didn't know, because we had just like started building like our online platform and we had no idea what it would turn into.
Yeah.
So the guy from Swarmac West ended up emailing me and was like, "Do you guys have corporate wellness programs?" I was like, "Yes." Even though I didn't know. I'm not going to lie. Like, I just finished the book Lean In by Cheryl Strayed. And what was so great about it, I was telling my husband this, like, she was saying, like, a lot of women will not say yes to anything if they aren't 100% sure they can do it. Hmm. And I'm like the opposite. Like, I'll figure it out. Yep. We do. We have corporate wellness. We got it. a lot of guys will do that though. Like, they'll say yes, and then they'll figure out a way to like get that next job. Maybe that was just being raised by men and being in the Marine Corps. I don't know. But I was like, yep, we got it. Low back program. And so that was our first like thing. We went in and it was like corporate Navy. Like, people who sit at desks, they're, you know, like sitting at a desk working on a gun or a computer, but they're very sedentary, actually. They sit a lot. So it was our first like trip into, wow, this is sedentary America, but this actually isn't sedentary America. Because then we went into a call center shortly thereafter, who reached out to us around the same time. And I was like, yep, we got a corporate wellness program. Went into their call center and were blown away by the level of fitness or lack thereof. But the message that I was talking about through ownership of health and like, hey, I've struggled, but that doesn't mean I have to struggle forever, right? Like, I've used these simple tools to help myself. The act of storytelling and then providing them some value in the back end, like, they really appreciated it. I was like, I really like this, because this person is pre-diabetic or possibly already diabetic, and they want to make a change in their life and are. This person hasn't worked out in 15 years and is getting after it. Hmm. You know, this person is stoked that they can squat well now. Like, it just, there's a huge, I guess, dopamine boost of, I feel really good working with this group that I kind of like, oh, those people? No. I'm only working with badass, weekend warrior, CrossFitters, you know, people like myself who just don't make excuses. Well, hello, I've made excuses too. Ego check. I've made a lot of excuses. I'm no different. Like, I've just made the best decisions possible, and I want to show them how to as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about it, like, my brothers, one of them's in corporate America. He could really utilize, and he's relatively fit compared to the people he's around, but needs help.
Yeah. Well, it's a huge, you know, initiative to really be able to scale things like that. And I know, you know, I've it's been fun for me to see sort of the start of where you guys are at with Movement RX and, you know, having a chance to really sort of, you know, talk with you and pair, you know, along the way and see how things are going and be able to bounce ideas off each other. And, you know, yeah. I know, life changed for you with the addition of, you know, a kid to the life, to y'all's life. And, you know, that comes with its own unique, you know, positives and negatives, like difficulties and just like a lot of really positive things. Like, not to say that it's not a great thing, but from a business standpoint, it can be extremely challenging on the mom in particular. So how have you dealt with the frustrations of being a mom entrepreneur and, you know, juggling those roles? Because we definitely, you know, like Per and I have it easy compared to you and Ashley. Like, we just don't have the same demands, you know, with kids. And so how have you found, you know, success with being able to juggle that?
Well, success has come with a lot of failures.
Yeah, it's relative, I guess, right?
Yeah, just with the struggles of, I mean, I'm so, like, I'm very passionate about what I do. So having a kid, it was like, there's a shift in energy. Like, I wanted to spend time with this little one. Mm. However, I also wanted to still grow. And I was given this advice by a friend of mine who ran her own business. She's like, you know, you're going to have to put your career on hold for like 5 years until that baby gets bigger. And I'm like, I can't really afford to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that, actually. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest, like during my time of pregnancy, because Magnus, it was like 2 years of just kind of this, a lot of changes in my company that one forced me to really think about the who, and then the what. So like when I was pregnant with Magnus, there was a huge stressful period where I didn't know if Magnus would be born alive. Oh, like wow. He was actually... at the 20-week checkup, was told he didn't have a corpus callosum, and which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And potentially could be born as stillborn. And they were like, you can terminate if you like. That was like the first thing out of the perinatologist's mouth. And I was like, what? You can terminate I can terminate this pregnancy? Like, wait, we just went from and have this key wrong, but here's a choice for you. And so that was so my thing was, okay, well, let's take more tests. Like, maybe he's just a late developer. Let's give it a month. Can I get an MRI? Yes, I'm going to get an MRI. And other things, like another ultrasound. But that month of just waiting, it was really stressful on Per and I, like a lot of tears, a lot of like you just don't like, I'm a new mom, so I didn't know what it was like to be, have a kid yet, but it was just, I couldn't imagine like losing this little one or having to deal with this decision. But during that time, I had to fire one of my PTs too. Just someone who ethically wasn't working for us. And that was a partnership that came with that. And so that was hard because dealing with the struggle of, like, all business owners make poor partnerships, but we kind of jumped into something a little too quickly, put a little too much trust in someone that didn't necessarily deserve it, all the while dealing with this what if. So after that, we found out Magnus was going to be fine, you never really know, but we were really relieved. Had him and started building out our fire, because the fire department was interested in working with us. And that was like, we had to create this proposal the first 2 months of Magnus's life. So here I am interviewing people breastfeeding. Wow. And people on the other line are like, what's that noise? And I just, not that I wanted to do that, but it was like, I'm in survival mode a little bit. I've got PTs that are doing the PT work, but I'm also growing this other entity of my business. And I was the key clinical person to be interviewing certain people. and I had to do it during business hours. Mm-hmm. And so that was really hard. Like, here I am managing just feeding and right. then not, let alone really not sleeping too much, because I'm alert every couple hours, but I'm also sitting there feeding him. And the PTs also that it worked for me didn't really understand the processes that we were going through to build this FIRE contract. So again, like, as we were build, we didn't do it the right way initially, I don't think. Like, we started building this digital stuff and building these more corporate focused programs, but we didn't bring our other team involved. Like, our other team were like, digital, what? Corporate, what? Like, we don't understand, because we weren't in touch with them. Like, we let them kind of run their own schedules, unbeknownst to Per and I, because we were new parents and it was new, going through a lot of stress. Like, we didn't communicate well with our team. So therefore, that team, we had to shift gears completely. After the first year of Magnus's life, it was like, this is where we want to focus. The digital side is where we want to focus. PT side, yes, a little bit, but the people we had in place on the PT side just weren't. There was a lot of pulling teeth, like, digital, yes, this is the way to go. Speaking in front of more groups, like, but you got to have someone that believes in the vision. So we had to shift gears again with our company, found the right people, right? Right people really helped to help run the PT side. And so now Per and I can really run with the corporate vision. The PTs are all about being a part of it. Whereas before, that wasn't the case. It was like, I want more patients. Like, I don't want to be coaching at the Navy. I don't want to be account managing. That all comes down to the business owner. I'll take full responsibility of communicating the vision and the changes. But it wasn't easy. That was all done while I had a kid, potentially losing a kid, but learning how to raise a kid at the same time as, like, growing this new entity of my business with a vision change. So yeah, there was a lot of ups and downs, but Per and I are resilient people. We were like, no, we're doing this. We can do it. And there's always someone out there who's going to listen. Like, one PT doesn't work out, like, finding the right people at this point really, really matters. And we've learned that. And we've worked with some really good ones that are off doing great things. But in order to grow a vision that doesn't look normal or kind of paving your own way, you've got to find the right people. Yeah. And that goes for any business, whether you're traditional or not. It's like, so it was a couple years. And I kind of look back. You have to look back on those and say, like, there was so much growth. Like, I wouldn't have learned about how to communicate effectively with the team had I not gone through this. Like, it was like a slap in the face. Or I wouldn't have known that I didn't want to just grow a brick and mortar had I not gone through trying, you know, working, getting a big studio and, like, focusing there and realizing, no, there's a bigger world out there. Like, I want to focus my efforts elsewhere because I feel like my message resonates. They need it more. Yeah. So.
Well, I think there's also some, you know, if you really look at, like, the family mom entrepreneur, I guess, difficulties associated with that. There's also, like, some really inherent positives associated with flexibility of your schedule. Like,
oh, yeah.
You may work a lot, but you can kind of choose in some ways when you want to work a lot. So what have you found with Magnus that, you know, you're able to do that you really enjoy that maybe, like, people that are employed by somebody else and have a little bit more strict schedule are not unable to do?
Well, first of all, a kid also is the best reminder of return on investment of time.
Right.
I can easily say, no reason behind it. Just know I don't have time. So Magnus is in daycare more. He's in daycare full time now. The beauty of it is, I can pull him out early on Fridays or whenever I want and take him and do things. So, like, Fridays will go when it's not inclement in San Diego.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's super inclement here usually.
Yeah.
We'll go down to the beach. We'll go get ice cream. Like, Fridays is our day to hang out, go to the park. Can take him to every doctor's appointment with Pear. Like, we can be present at every single one during the middle of a work week. If he's sick, and I need to come get him in the middle of the day, everything else stops. Like, I can just have other people handle whatever's going on. So that's the beauty of it. And Magnus and I, so my husband and I traveled to India in October. Mm-hmm. We traveled all of the month and Magnus came with us. And it was really awesome. We still were able to manage our business from there. You know, we still did check in with our team, but we're able to enjoy just time as a family, traveling and being together while things were still running and growing.
Yeah.
And that's something too, like, you got to have a team that believes enough in the vision and wants to be part of it to, and believe in you as a leader to say, that's awesome. That's something I want to do. I want to be part of a company that does that.
That's amazing. You know, and I think that flexibility comes after you're able to build infrastructure, you know, like, yeah. I mean, we both remember the days where it was patient care, follow up with people that were interested in working with us, you know, shooting emails off to cold, you know, leads to go teach places. Like, it's a grind, but it's also a risk. And I think sometimes people that end up, you know, joining your team, maybe they don't get to see that and, or have respect for that because they haven't gone through it. And that's challenging. And sometimes they, you know, they look at your role as like, oh, they don't even do anything, you know, versus what you're doing is now totally different because you've laid the groundwork for everybody else to be able to really benefit from the brand you've developed. So how do you get that across your team? I'm really interested. Like, how do you manage, like, oh, Perrin, you know, Teresa are just like hanging out in India with their, you know, with Magnus for a month while we're over here like grinding it out for them. Like, how do you manage that?
That's a good question, because we haven't always managed it that well. And I think, so we do this yearly retreat where we go over the vision and we learn about everyone else's goals. Mm-hmm. We're much stricter on our, so that's a good place. Like, the retreat is a great place to just like open up about where we're going and do you still want to be part of this?
Yeah.
And what are your goals? We want to support you towards your goals. But the other thing is, I got really good, or I would say better at the interview process. It's like, this is our vision, yes or no. There's no, maybe that sounds cool. I don't want you, this to just be another job for you. So yeah. Like, there's some questions like, you're not just going to be handed everything. Like, you're going to have to hustle. Mm-hmm. You know, I found there's a huge disconnect early on with, sometimes we do profit share depending on with the PT, especially if they're trying to grow their own, people trying to grow their own practice within a practice. Cause we know that the PT side isn't the focus, but PTs want to work with us to learn, but the concept of profit share just went over their head. So it's like, there's a level of education on business in general, which we don't really want to do. Like, we actually want to focus on the bigger vision, and are people interested in working with us to be part of it and have opportunities outside of just one-on-one care.
Right.
Because when you get someone who's just focused on feed me hours, feed me patients, it's not going to work, especially in a company like ours. So the vision and like, are you ready to coach in front of a group of 50 people in a corporate environment? Are you ready to do virtual assessments? Are you ready to travel to Iowa to do some a full day of assessments? You know, are you ready to do a couple days of patient care, but do like account management on other days? And this is what account management looks like. The PTs we have now are yes, like they're gung ho about it. So the fact of us going to India, they were like, no, go have fun. We'll be here. Because we give them time, like one of our PTs is going to Hawaii for a week and a half. She's going to Abu Dhabi at some point. Like we give them whatever they want to take, they take, because they work really effing hard. I think it's just we've developed this path of there's no bullshit anymore. It's like, here's what we're doing. You want to be a part of it? Show us, like, prove it to us. And that's who we have now. They've really like shown up, and It's like, I can tell them to do one, like our tactical business coordinator. I can just say, hey, can you coordinate this next cohort with the divers in the Navy? She's on it, everything.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Whereas before, I felt like I was pulling teeth to, you know, every step of the way with another individual. And it's like, when someone just wants it, organized person, I mean, they had to learn from me initially, but like, they run with it.
Right.
And yeah, they make mistakes, but they're like willing to learn. So yeah, it's not been an easy process, I'll tell you that. Because my husband and I are different. Like, he just puts his head down, grinds. I'm a high touch person. You got to have a high touch person in the company. But when I had Magnus and I was going through being a new mom and just trying to be present, right? Shutting away the phone, extra stimulus, unless I really needed to work. Like, the company still needed high touch, but they weren't getting it. So just people had to go and we had to change. And I guess that's the beauty of where we're at now, is it got us to the right people with a clear vision and a big dream with big action.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great point. I mean, what is it? You gotta get the right people on the bus. Sometimes if they're not the right person on the bus, you gotta kick them off the bus. And you guys have figured that out. That's really cool. And, you know, I know we're closing in on our time, and now we've got, you know, some other things that you know, you've got to get to, and you've already explained your week. So, but I just want to, you know, first of all, just thank you for jumping back on the podcast, but also give you an opportunity, just, you know, if you want people to, you know, kind of learn more, or if they're interested in learning more about your business and things you guys have going on, like, you know, where can they find out a little bit more and maybe reach out to you guys if they're interested on, you know, maybe they do want to jump on your bus.
Yeah. Well, so if you want to just learn what's out there besides just patient care, and something that's a big vision of ours, is look at our website. It's your.movement-rx.com. That's got all of our online programs, access to our one-on-one, but more importantly, you'll see kind of the work we do in the community. And if you want to listen, so I also have a podcast that I dedicate to my adaptive. The first season's dedicated to this group of people I get to work with called the Adaptive Athletes. And it's like, I just love this group. They teach me a lot about life and resilience and like, fuck it, just keep going. Like, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Half the reason why I got through all the hard times I did is this group. It's on drteresalarson.com. It's called My New Normal. And share it with someone you love. You probably know someone in a wheelchair, someone with a spinal cord injury, someone with cancer, someone with a missing limb, traumatic brain injury. If you know someone, then listen to some of the podcasts and share it. That's been a fun little side project that's turning into a message again that corporate America needs: resilience.
Yeah.
How do you build it?
Totally. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Guys, check her stuff out. Making some really, you know, cool changes within the profession. And I just love to see that we can be creative and the things you're doing are sort of outside the box, but really making a big impact. So again, thanks so much for jumping on the podcast. And guys, as always, stay tuned for the next one.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for listening to today's show. If you liked what you heard and you're interested in seeing if you're a fit to work with us, here's what I want you to do next. Head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. That's physicaltherapybiz.com/call and book an appointment to speak with our team today. We'll jump on the phone with you for about 45 minutes and we'll get you crystal clear on three things in your business. Number one, what price should you be charging? Number two, what target audience should you be going after? And number three, what strategies should you be using to reach those people? Remember, scaling your cash PT business doesn't happen by itself. You need expert guidance to make it happen. We've helped cash PT owners all over the country scale to multiple six-figure businesses, all while creating huge impact in their communities. To see if we can help you do the same thing, head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. I'm Danny Matei, and let's talk soon.